the Word of God and go and join me in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. By the way, last week I began my message, my Bible study, with the names of Jesus. And I read through all these names of the Lord that we know are there. There was 92 of them that I gave you. That's not conclusive. There are many, many more. But I gave it to you in this sheet last week. Many of you took it home. How many of you took me up on the challenge already? And you've already looked up a bunch of these names in the Bible. Yeah, did you find a bunch of them? Yeah, it's great. That's a great little study, studying the names of Christ. And if you did not get that and would like to do it, we have all these names of Jesus that are in the Word of God, and you can go look these up and find them. And it's just a Bible study challenge to give you something to focus on in your Bible study and give you something to that might be a little fun for you. Finding those in the Word of God. And many of them, there's many, many references for them. Some of them have maybe one reference, but they're definitely there. And we're excited about it, though. In Philippians, we started out last week looking at a verse of Scripture. And then we answered the question, what is the power of a name? And we began to look at the many names of deity for Jesus, the Lord. And there's so many there. And we started looking at the different names, especially names that come out of the Hebrew language. And we began to understand the meanings behind those names. And we got about halfway through the list. We ran out of time. And so we're going to finish this list up here tonight. And I started out with answering this question. Why do we need to know this? Why do we need to know all this? I mean, it does seem a little trivial. It's way more information than I'm sure you'll ever remember. But it's important for us to know it and to have it. You know, you've got it in print in front of you, and you can keep that in your Bible or keep that in the place that you like to go to pray, but it'll help you. And I gave these three quick reasons. I said, you need to know this, number one, because this will enhance our prayer power as we invoke the power of praise and the emotional strings that tug on the Lord's heart. That was reason number one. It will enhance our prayer power. These names mean something. And these names that we use when we refer to God, God has a different way that he responds to it, much the way we are. We respond differently to, you know, Mr. Riggs. I respond to Daddy a lot differently than I do Mr. Riggs. I mean, I'll respond to both. They're both correct titles for me. But when the people who I am their daddy call out daddy, it evokes in me a different response. Well, there are names for God that when we use them in our prayer life, when we're calling out to God, there's just names that evoke a different emotional connection. So we looked at that. Now, number two, I said this will help us to understand the greatness, the powers, and natures of our Heavenly Father. These names explain his power, his greatness, his glory, and we understand his nature. By all these different names, we see the God that we have. And then, of course, number three, it will bring us closer relationship-wise with our Lord. It brings us into a closer relationship with our Lord. How many of you want to be closer to the Lord? How many of you truly desire? Now, some people don't really care. They don't require a relationship with the Lord. They don't feel they need him. I'll tell you where that'll change. It'll change on a dime when one of your loved ones is laying in an emergency room and you need to get a hold of God. Your prayer life takes on a whole new meaning when you really need to get a hold of God. And unfortunately, you can't withdraw what you haven't deposited. I mean, there are people who, you know, would like to be a help during times, but there's no relationship there amongst us. We want to help people, but we realize when they're going through something, we've just never had a relationship with that person. Well, that can happen with God, and people can realize that the distress times of their life, that they've never really developed a relationship with him. You know, we always point out that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. We need to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Therefore, we need to learn more about him and learn how to praise him adequately. Now, we read this in Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I've concluded, and I wrote this in the margin of my Bible, in this study that I was, when I was working on this to prepare it to bring to you, I concluded this, and I wrote it right here. This is what I wrote. In a study of the names of God, we discover and conclude the following three facts. Fact number one, his greatness cannot be contained. Number two, his goodness cannot be explained. Point number three, his glory cannot adequately be exclaimed by just one name. That's why he has so many names. There's not one name that can explain the goodness of God. There's just not one title or one name that can adequately do it. There is not one name that we can give to the Lord to explain his greatness. And his greatness cannot be contained by just one name. The name God is a powerful name, but it cannot contain the greatness of the one it's being referred to. We know that the glory of the Lord cannot adequately be explained by just one name. So we have all these names that give us the picture of the glory and the greatness and the goodness of God. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. And that's why this study is important. That's why we need to know a little more about it. Most people, if you gave them a test about the names of God, they might get 8 or 9 of them. It is said that there's over 700 titles and names that refer to Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, that refer to the deity, the Trinity, and the three people involved with that. What an amazing reality there. Now, we went through and looked at a lot of them. We talked about the very first name we looked at in the Hebrew was the name Jehovah. And the name Jehovah simply translates into what? The Lord. So we see it as a Old Testament Hebrew representation of who? Who is Jehovah a reference to? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? We see Jesus represented in the name Jehovah. Boy, what a powerful name. When I was in Israel, they took me to the Golan Heights where I had dinner on a base with a colonel. He received us as his guest. And man, we had a great time on that base, and he treated us like royalty. It was like a 10-course meal that he served. It was an incredible time. Then after that, he took us on a tour, Brother John, of the parameters of that base. And as we were going along, of course, there was military men all around us, guys with machine guns. And we would look across. There'd be a fencing. And on the other side, they had what they call their mirror. You know what that is? That's the guard on the other wall. Literally, they could see each other. You have a guard with a machine gun standing out looking at a Palestinian standing there looking at him with a machine gun. And as we were going along, they had a big speaker pointed toward the Israeli base. And this is up in the Golan Heights. It's a very strategic place because it's the mountain area with the valleys down below where the Israeli cities, and they've got to protect that because if the Palestinians get it, they can shell right down into these valleys. So it's always being fought over. And they had a big old speaker, and it was, of course, in the Arabic tongue, but it was saying something over and over and over again. And one of the men in our party said, "What is he saying? What does he keep saying over and over and over again?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "they do this every day." But he said, "This is what he's saying. Allah is greater. Greater than whom? Greater than Jehovah." And it was just something that he kept saying over and over. And they had a big old speaker, and they were pumping that in toward the Israelis. But, you know, the name of Jehovah is a powerful name. It means the Lord, the Lord. A name for the person of Jesus in the Hebrew language. The name is a root word that there's much built upon it. We looked at all these names, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord who provides. We looked at all these different names that we came down to. And then we got down to the second name that is in the Hebrew word. It's another root name. We saw the name El. El, E-L. All right, that's the root word in the Hebrew tongue for God, and is used as a prefix for the attributes of God the Father, and it's used in the following names for God. And we got down about 3 or 4 names. We saw the name El. Then we saw the name Elohim, which means the Supreme One or Mighty One, which is a name that praises God as the most powerful being of all beings, a name of praise for God and a name that gives him his power, his majesty as being the Lord of Lords, the God of gods. There's a lot of small g gods. We know those are demonic gods. Those are fallen angels that by the leading of Lucifer were led to rebel against God, and Satan promised them that he would make them into gods, and there's been a period of time in history where they were worshiped as gods. And we know that there are little statues and things they have found in archaeology that are images of these false demon gods, these little g gods. And they're not human. Angels are not human. Angels are supernatural beings, and they have powers and authorities that you and I as humans do not have. But we see that many of them were lifted up and worshiped as deity. And yet we understand when we say the name Elohim, that God, that El is greater than any small g god. There is nobody on the level of power or authority as El is. Elohim or El, he's the supreme one, the mighty one. So then we see names for the Father. Jehovah references who? Who do we understand it's referencing there? It's a reference to Jesus, the Lord. We see El as a reference to the Father. The Jews understood the concept of the Trinity. They understood that there was a person that they rejected Jesus, the physical person of Jesus. They rejected him. They're still looking for the Messiah. But they understand in the prophecies that a Messiah was foretold. They understand that there's a person in the Trinity of a person that would be like Jesus, a person they refer to as Jehovah. Now, it's sad to me that when Jehovah was amongst them, they missed him. They rejected him. The Bible says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. We know that he came, and he was here, but they missed it. They didn't see him, and they rejected him. But we know that, again, that was even foretold. But they understood that there was the Father. There was El, the supreme being, and they called him Elohim. So the name El meant a God, but they took it a step further, and they made Elohim the supreme or mighty one, the great God, a name that praises God as the most powerful being of all beings, that there is nobody on his level. There is no one that possesses his authority. There is no one that is in the league of his glory. And it's a name of praise in our prayers. When we're praying to God and we want to praise him, we can evoke the name Elohim as being the supreme one or mighty one. We can address him that way when we reference him in our prayers. Now we see some other names. We pointed out number 14 on your list. There was El Hanaiman, which means faithful God. Faithful God. Have you already written that down? I know I'm probably backing up here a little bit, but faithful God. This name praises God for the fact that he always keeps his promises and that he can be relied on. By the way, God always keeps his promises. Say that with me. God always keeps his promises. Say it again. When God said it, you can take it to the bank. Now, I saw bumper stickers when I was growing up. It was kind of popular for a while, and it said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Now, I believe it this way. God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Amen. But we know this. If God has promised us something in his word, you can take it to the bank. He always keeps his word. He always does what he says. He says what he means. He means what he says. And we know that that name praises his faithfulness. He is faithful. Now we see here, number 15, El Roi. It's E-L-R-O-I. And that means the God who sees me. And that's a name that was used by Hagar and was used when she prayed to God as she was alone in a desperate situation. I explained that to you last week. I'm not going to go over it again, but it's a sweet story. But she says, it's God who sees me. When we're praying, we can reference the God who we know is watching us, that God that sees us, that God that hears and understands us. We understand that our Lord in the heavens is watching us. The Bible says the eyes of God go to and fro. And we see that those eyes watch us. And so that can be a little bit of an eerie thought. You know, God sees you when you're doing stupid things and dumb things and sinful things. How many of you have ever been doing something wrong and you've suddenly felt the power of the eyes of God upon you? And that conviction. You know, it's kind of like I was talking about Sunday, the way them moms have them incredible superhero eyes. They see things that you don't think they can see. But you know, God never sleeps. He never slumbers. His eyes are always busy watching the affairs of man. Now, we think of it in bad. You know, like if you're doing bad, God's watching you. I've shared the story how one time during prayer meeting on Wednesday night, my dad was up there leading the prayer meeting, and we all would come to the altar. Dad would have us all come to the altar, and we'd all kneel. People would fill the altars, and then we would have, you know, five or six men pray. Well, I was there kneeling with my friend Keith Thomas. Now, Keith Thomas produced, after about the first prayer, he produced out of his pocket three Hot Wheel cars. Yeah. I'll never forget it. He had the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. Oh, man.
That's worth money, huh?
He had it in his pocket. He had two others. Well, man, he handed one to me. We were sitting over there. We were just having a fun time. And we were having a blast. And we were sitting behind my dad. I came around on the back part of the stage, and I was sitting up there with Keith. There was people gathered around. Dad was up there, and everybody had their heads bowed praying. Me and Keith were playing with our Hot Wheels. I was having a good time, and all of a sudden, I just felt this uncomfortableness come over me. This uncomfortableness, like I couldn't explain. I'm like, man, I feel like something's like weird. All of a sudden, I look up, and everybody's praying. My dad's standing there like this, just watching me. Oh, man, after church was over, he said, son, I want you to go in my office and wait for me. Well, we all know what that meant. I was in trouble. He taught me a big lesson on reverencing, not doing that in the Lord's house, and praying when we're praying. And, you know, we had a long talk. There was wailing and gnashing of teeth. But, you know, we do understand the eyes of God are everywhere and that God is with us. But it's also a good thing. It's a good thing. I remember playing basketball in high school. And man, I was good. I wish y'all could have seen me. Y'all would have enjoyed that. That was good. Miss Linda, you would have gotten a thrill out of that. I remember playing. I'd make a layup, make a shot. I'd look up in the stands. You know who I'd see watching me? I'd see my dad standing there watching me. And it felt so good. And I'd see my dad give me a thumbs up or a nod, or he'd say, good job, son. And I remember doing things, and sometimes catching my dad watching me doing it. My dad would pull up in the afternoon coming in from work. I'd be out in the yard shooting baskets. My dad would get out. Sometimes he'd shoot a few shots before he'd go in. But sometimes I could shoot like 20 shots just in that minute that he was walking. I wanted to impress him, you know. But, you know, God sees you when you're doing good, too. Sometimes you're making that, you know, that layup in life, and you look over and God's saying, hey, I saw that. Good job, son. Good job. And it means something. God sees the good that you do. God saw, maybe nobody else saw it, but God saw you when you helped that person in need. God saw it when you prayed and he heard you. God saw you when you made that sacrifice for his glory. And we need to understand that one of the great powers of El is there's this presence that they understood that he's the God who sees me. He sees me when I'm at need, and he sees me when I'm in desperate situations. God's watching me. They understood it, and they had a name to explain that. Number 16, we see El Salai. El Salai. Now, if I'm not pronouncing these words correctly, please forgive me. I'm doing the best I can. I was born in Arkansas. We didn't speak a lot of Hebrew in Arkansas, surprisingly. You'd think it would be everyday and common, but it just wasn't. But if you know how to pronounce them correctly, please feel free to shout it out if I say it wrong. El Salai, God is my rock, or God is my strength. It's a name. It was a name used by King David in a psalm that he wrote praising God for the help he received from God during the attacks that he had by his enemies. And so it was a name used by David. God is my rock, or God is my strength, and it comes up through the Psalms often. But it's a name that points out that when you're up against it and the enemies of God are coming at you, you can count on God to be your rock and your strength. Sometimes when you're praying, it's a great name to use to call upon the Lord when you feel you need his protection, when you feel that you need his strength. When you feel weak, that's a name that when you're praying, you should use to call out to God for that part of him that gives us strength and protection in our life. Number 17, El Rakum. El Rakum, which means God of mercy and compassion. God of mercy and compassion. It was a name used to praise God for his mercy and should be used by us when praying for forgiveness and grace. Now, I'm sure most of you never need that. Probably never need it. Never need God's grace or God's mercy. How many of you can feel my sarcasm in that? Man, we need it every day. We need it every day. And we know that in the model prayer, Jesus taught us to ask the Lord to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We know that daily it's a process that we go to the Lord to confess our sins and to clean the slate, so to speak, of our daily missteps. But we need God every day. We need his mercy and compassion every day. And it's a name that is used to evoke that part of God, that merciful, compassionate part of God. And I would encourage you, if you've really done something and you know you got to, listen, you got to get it right with God, remember that name. And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. And I put this to work since last Wednesday night. I keep this on my desk. And every morning when I get here, I drop Adriana off. I go to my office. Miss Kristen knows that the first hour I'm in there, the door's shut. And I don't like to be disturbed or take any meetings, but I get in my devotion time. And I've been keeping this on my desk. And as I've been praying, I've been trying to match up these names to the portion of my prayer that fits. And I've been trying to learn better how to use this. There were a few names I already knew, but I got into this in a more exhaustive way. And I'm putting it to work already in my prayer life. And I want to encourage you, put this where you like to pray. Put it in your Bible maybe, or you can take this and maybe even shorten it or make the names. You know, you don't need all this information, but you at least have the what I call the cheat sheet here to help you understand it. Put it to work in your prayer life. And when the need that you're praying for, try to use the name of God that goes with what you're needing from God. If you're in there and you know you need some compassion from God, maybe you're in that part of your prayers where you're doing some confessionals. How many of you realize you need to do daily confessionals with the Lord? Not with the preacher, not with me. I don't need to hear your confessions. We don't have a confession booth in the lobby. We don't have that here. That is not what we're talking about. But daily we go to the Lord, we go straight to him, and we daily have to get things right. And things that we know we've done wrong, things that we know that we've done that displease him. We need to try to draw that to a remembrance and bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I know I did this today, and I'm sorry. And ask the Lord to help you to grow through it. And we seek his mercy and compassion by clearing that out. And it feels good. You know, when you're carrying sins that you think you're hiding from God, it does something to your relationship with God. What is that verse in the Bible? That if I hide iniquity in my heart, the Lord... Y'all say the rest of it. If I had iniquity in my heart, the Lord... Does it really say that? That sounds so cold, doesn't it? Say that again. What did y'all just say? I'll say it. If I had iniquity in my heart... Huh, I wonder if the Bible really means that. You think that's real? Or is that one of them parts of the Bible that we just kind of ignore? We think that slipped in there somehow. God didn't mean for that. What does that mean? That means if you're hiding sin, it's going to get between you and God. You got to get it out. And so when we're getting it out, seek that Lord of compassion, that Lord of mercy, El Rakum. Rakum. I'm sure it's pronounced a little different than what I'm saying it. But how many of you believe the Lord knows what you're trying to say? I know. We're getting close enough there. Hey, El Rakum. Number 18, El Ne Kuma. El Ne Kuma, which means God is our comfort. That's a name used when praying to God for comfort during times of anxiety and worry. Man, I have times like that. I have times of anxiety. Did you know that? Times of worry, distress. Times I've gone to the Lord because that's the only place I could find comfort. And I'm going to tell you something, it really does work. There are times that I have felt the stress of life or pastoring or parenting or whatever it is. There's times that the only relief I found was when I got alone and I went to the Lord. Well, when we were praying to God for that comfort, we were speaking to El Ne Kuma, the God who is our comfort. God gives us comfort. He's a comforter. We understand that he brings us peace and he brings us strength at times that we need it. Now, number 19, El Yeshuati, El Yeshuati, Yeshuati. That means the God of my salvation, the God of my salvation, a name to be used in prayers of praise for God, for the salvation that he has brought to us. You know, you and I will never understand it until we end up seeing heaven. I don't know how it's all going to work. I really don't. I see imaging in the scripture that leads me to believe that you and I will one day peer into the pits of hell. I believe that what it is described in Revelation 22, we'll be witnesses to hear people that hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I believe we'll be the crowd of witnesses that are watching this, the saints. I don't know that we'll ever be able to appreciate God's salvation until we see what he saved us from. You know what I'm trying to say? I believe it's something most of us take for granted. And I think the main reason is we just can't seem to bring our mind to an understanding of how big it really is. And to me, one of the problems with salvation is the simplicity of it. It makes people not understand exactly what has happened here and what God has really done. And I don't know that we could ever adequately praise God for our salvation. But I do believe that the more knowledge we gain of the Bible, the more we have an understanding that there is a burning hell and that God has saved us from it. And on that day that we see people, man, I've heard preachers talk about this. I think, you know, we're going to be surprised on that judgment day, people we see in that lineup. And sometimes it might be that neighbor we lived next to for 40 years or that person we worked in the cubicle next to for 20 years who we never once told about Jesus. And the Bible talks about that blood being on our hands. But we'll watch as these people hear those dreaded words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And we see that they're cast into this lake of fire. And I believe it's very possible on that day, we that are witnessing this may get a glimpse into that horrible abyss. And I don't know, but I feel like it's going to make us look back at heaven and all that glory and have an unbelievable amount of praise. The Bible says that we're going to praise God around the throne for eternity. And I think then we're going to have a complete understanding of what salvation really means. Who's with me on that? It's a beautiful word, beautiful name they gave to God, understanding that he is the God of our salvation. He is our hero, our savior. All righty, number 20, El Shaddai. El Shaddai is a very popular word in Christianity. You've heard it in songs and all that. It simply means God Almighty. God Almighty. It's the most common name for God in the Bible. This name shows his authority as the high God over all gods and all things. It should be invoked when we are calling out to God in praise and in need of his mighty hand. So we see that name, El Shaddai. It's a very popular name. It should be used in your prayers as you address the Lord. And it's just a reference to his absolute greatness. It's another name. There's other names that reference the same thing, and that's one of them. El Elyon, Lord Most High. It means the Lord Most High, a name of praise and respect for God for his power and position as ruler of all that he has created. Which is all, that's everything. El Olam, the everlasting and eternal God. That's what that name means, the everlasting and eternal God. This is a name to describe his eternal nature and a name of praise that we can use in our prayers. You know, the Bible says he's the beginning and the end, and there's never been a time that there was not God. There'll never be a time when there is not God. He's everlasting and eternal in nature, and that name denotes that greatness in him. Number 23, El Gibor, which means a strong and mighty hero. Once again, a name of praise for God's matchless power over evil. He is a strong and mighty hero who will be there for you when the forces of evil are trying to torment you. El Emet, number 24, the God of truth. The God of truth, a name that shows his faithfulness to his word and his promises. We see that. El Emet, the God of truth. Number 25, El Deot, the God of knowledge. It praises God for his omniscient power. Who knows what the word omniscient means? Throw it out there. All knowing. God knows all. Somebody said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? God is omniscient. He's all knowing. And so that name is a name that praises him for that omniscient power. He's all knowing. And it declares that. And then there's El Hakadosh. I'm sure they do it with that what they call a guttural, where it sounds like something in the back of your throat, but that El Hakadosh, the Holy One, a name of honor for his unique holiness. that is shared by no other, a name of praise in our prayers. The Holy One is what that name means, and it's a reference to him, and it's a great word to use in your prayer time to give him praise and glory. 27, El Simcha Guy, who knows how to say this name? Anybody want to take a stab at it? El Simcha Gali or something like that. I don't know. But that's how you spell it. God, my exceeding joy. God, my exceeding joy. And it was a name of praise used in prayer for the joy that God brings into their life. And the Hebrews would use this name when they're praising God. And we see that. Now, number 28, El Hakvad, the God of glory. El Hakvad, the God of glory. A name of praise to show that all creation brings glory and honor to God. A name to be used in praise in our prayers. Then there's the name that we see in the Word of God where they say, who should I say, you are? And he said, tell them that I am. That's something that has always been perplexing. You look at that and say, what does that mean, I am? Well, in the Hebrew, it was said, Eye Asher Eye. And it means, I will be what I will be. That's what it literally interprets into. The name I am is in the Hebrew, I will be what I will be. Now, this name was used by God to show his all-powerful reality. The power to be whatever and whoever he wants to be. A name that showed he is all-powerful and unlimited in his power. He is the I am. I am. He is, I will be what I will be. That's who you're dealing with. And we see that. Whew, powerful name, powerful name. Then there's the name Adonai. Again, a name used in a lot of Christian music, Adonai. And the name means master, king, or lord. It could be a reference to any of those three words, master, king, or lord. And it's a name to refer to his sovereignty and lordship. A beautiful name to use in your praise and prayer time. Abba is the number 31. Abba. We're not talking about the 70s disco group. A lot of people didn't realize that the name has a biblical meaning. Did you know that? Abba? Who knows what the name means? It means father. It's the Arabic word for father. And here's a catch on the name Abba. It is the most beloved and intimate name that we can call the Lord by in our prayers. It is a name that evokes love and responsibility in God towards us as our Heavenly Father. When we refer to God as Abba, that's like a little child yelling, Daddy, Daddy. And man, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When you hear your child somewhere and he yells, Daddy, it puts you in action. It evokes something in your heart that is way more powerful than any other name you could be called by. And I want to encourage you to learn to use the name Abba when you pray to your Heavenly Father. It pulls his attention towards you. It turns his ear towards you. It's a child crying out to the Lord and saying, Father, I need you. Daddy, hear me. And it does something, man. It's a powerful name that we can use when we pray to God. Number 32, Lamb of God is a name for Jesus, who obviously comes from the fact that he's the final lamb slain for the sins of man. And it's a beautiful name, Lamb of God. And we see him referred to, 33, as the Word. The Word is a name for Jesus used by the Apostle John to show that Jesus was the living Word or Testament, and that through him, the life of Jesus, we could see all that we need to know about God the Father. So we see Jesus is the Word, a living testament of God the Father. 34, we see the phrase bread of life, the name bread of life, a name for Jesus. And it shows that he is what sustains the child of God. And through him, we find the satisfaction and sustenance for eternal life. He is the bread of life. We think of that when we take the Lord's Supper. We break up that bread, and we see that bread as a picture of the body of Jesus. He is the bread of life. The Bible says, he that eateth this bread, talking about Jesus, will live forever. So he is the bread of eternal life. 35, wonderful. We see him referred to as wonderful, and that's a reference to Jesus, that he would be called wonderful. Now, the name wonderful literally means incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. This name shows that we cannot comprehend the greatness of Jesus. You and I will never get it. We cannot understand it. We cannot grasp it. No matter how much we study Jesus, no matter how much we think we know about Jesus, Jesus is incomprehensible. You'll never explain him. You'll never understand him. You will never get the greatness of Christ. And that's why he is called Wonderful. Another way to put it is full of wonders, things you cannot explain. That's what Jesus is in your life. Jesus will do things in your life that you cannot explain. You see number 36, the final one here that we're going to cover. There are many more, but this is all I'm going to cover. Light of the world. Light of the world, a reference to Jesus. A name used by Jesus himself to describe himself. It shows that he is the one that can lead man out of spiritual darkness into the enlightenment of salvation and the knowledge of eternal life. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one that lights the way for us to come out of darkness. The Bible says that he came to give light to them that sat in darkness. We see him referred to as the light of the world. He is the one that can bring us. There is no other that can bring the light of salvation to your life. You can study Buddha, but he is not the light of the world. You can study Allah, but he is not the light of the world. You will not find salvation through a study of Allah. You can study any number of men who have claimed to be gods or false religions. You can study them all you want. You will not find the light of the world there. You will not find the light that leads you to the understanding of how to get forgiveness and eternal life. These are the names of God. Now listen, if you can infuse the use of these names into your prayer life, it will greatly empower your prayers and draw the ear of God in a much greater way. And you know, that can't be a bad thing. I'll tell you, just in personal experience, in the last 3 weeks, I got the word that my dear friend's wife had had that horrible heart attack. And every time I got a text, it seemed like it was worse. It was worse. She's 49 years old, mother of two. Their daughter's graduating, their oldest child graduating from high school this Friday night. She won't be able to be there for it. We know that last Saturday they had to amputate her right leg due to the blood clot that she had post that heart attack. And it just seems like every time I think she's in the clear, we'll find something else that she's up against. But we've been praying, and the whole nation's been praying. All over America, people have been praying. Mike said it's been overwhelming, the love and the response from the Christian community. But they've had several absolute miracles where it even confounded their medical doctors. They just couldn't explain the turn that they saw in it. And I believe it's because all over the place, people were invoking the name of Jesus, seeking the power of El Shaddai and going to him. He is the Jehovah that we talked about, the one who heals. And there were people invoking that name of Christ and praying in that name. And we've seen miracle after miracle. Yesterday, I got a text that my nephew, Keith, there was a forest fire behind their house. It had already burned down two houses. It was creeping up. They had to evacuate. The firemen were saying that they were going to lose their home. There was nothing could be done. And it was literally coming up. Over 100 acres burned completely up. Keith lives out in a rural area. And all around their house, the trees and the shrubs were burned up. And their house was spared. Their house was spared. But immediately, prayer texts were going out everywhere. And we began to pray for God to spare Keith's home. Keith's a young dad. He's got four kids. He's a young pastor. Basically got his wife and kids out and his two dogs, but everything they owned was about to go up in flames. And it was pretty, when I got the text, I was on my way to Spencer's house when I got this text. And man, we were praying for them. Then I got the word a little bit later last night that they can't explain it, but their house has been spared. I can explain it. People were praying in the name of God. There's power in prayer, folks. There's power in it. And most people don't understand it. They don't understand how to tap into it. They don't understand. You know, it's kind of like driving a four-wheel drive truck, but you didn't understand how to turn the four-wheel drive on, and you got stuck. Most people don't sometimes know how to hit this switch of power in their prayers. And I hope you'll take these names and learn them. Put them somewhere where you can see them when you're praying. And think about what you're asking the Lord to do and figure out which name would be the power that is explained in that name that would go with your need. It'll do something for you, but it'll also, it'll bring power to your prayers. And you're going to want that at some point, I guarantee you. Let's pray. Let's pray. What a wonderful study. As we're looking at the life and times of Jesus and his life. Is there anyone that could say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know this. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me." Anybody? Anybody? Listen, I want to help you. And if you're here tonight, maybe you're a little nervous to raise your hand, catch me after church and say, "Preacher, can we talk about it? I don't know if I'm going to heaven." We always have time to talk about that. Salvation is so important. And our God saves. And we know how we can show you to the Lord of our salvation. We can take you there. All righty. Let's bow for a word of prayer. You're already bowed. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for everybody that's able to be here tonight. What a blessing to have a congregation to gather, to study your word, and to hear these prayer requests which are about to come. Lord, I pray that I've given them something tonight to help them understand you more and the names of this that are for you that are in this book. Lord, I pray that we'll have a greater understanding of it. We don't speak Hebrew. We don't read Hebrew. But a lot of times all we see is the name God or the name Lord. We see the name Jehovah, but we don't understand often the greater meanings that if we were reading the Hebrew, we would see that. Those greater explanations of who God is through those names that your people used so long ago. But Lord, we can learn it. We can see it. We can study it. You've preserved it. And if we'll use it, it'll help us draw closer to you and you closer to us. That's what I hope, and hope our people will do it. We ask this in Jesus' name.